Welcome to Waking Up in America with Valerie Kirkgaard. All comments, views, and opinions expressed on this show are solely those of Valerie, her guests, and callers. Now here's your host, Valerie Kirkgaard.
This is for you. This is for you and me, and who we see when we see each other. This is for all. This is for all the time you tried to find your sister or your brother. And you're not crazy anymore. You've been waiting at the door. And it's time to open.
Good morning. It is time to open this door. These doorways into the universe, these channels, and exciting things are happening, and we're going to pour out some of that information to you this morning. So, good morning, you American State Nationals. You're listening to Waking Up in America, Dynamic Radio Dialogues and Inquiries into Current Aspects of Reality, and an opportunity to know the world from a different place. We're headed for the fourth dimension, folks, and things get easier there. So, if you happen to hear a phone ringing or a dog barking or an angel humming or an ET singing, we're calling in from our homes and offices around the galaxy to create this program. So happy to have you here with us this morning. You may have heard the news yesterday. National emergency was declared by dear POTUS. And I won't get in this morning into all the political aspects that are going on in this country. I'm going to just bring you some good news. We've been talking for years about a great transfer of wealth, a rebalancing of the world's finances, and the national emergency that's being declared is to help stop the flow of immigrants coming over the border into the country. We don't mind having wonderful people coming to us from other countries. We just want them. We want them to ask our permission before they come here. That's what we're looking for. So I'm one of the ones that likes that wall. And I'm one of the ones that likes having people come here legally. And one of the cool things that's happening today is you may notice, or you, if you've been listening for a while, you can almost hear the trees falling in the woods on some property that Randy owns. And she's up there being a logger. And she's got her sons with her, and they have a tree trimming expedition to pull off at their taking care of over 1,000 trees. So think of Randy out there getting stuff done, our wonderful triathlete dynamic radio partner is out there exercising your muscles, getting a lot of work done. So Randy, keep going, honey. You'll get all those 1,000 trees done, I'm sure of it. So when people hear national emergency and things like that, they might get a little frightened. And this emergency is actually a space for the government to realign itself. There are a lot of good things that are in store for us. You may have heard about the global currency reset for years. Well, it looks like it's happening. I got this email about 3 or 4 days ago, and I actually tried to get it to Mike so he could put it together for you and play it on the air, but we couldn't get the technology to work, so I'm going to actually read to you this wealth transfer, okay? It says, all Social Security recipients will receive $2,500 per month within 30 days after NESRA, and that's an act that's going to be put into, it's going to all happen. And here's what NESRA is. All income taxes collected will be refunded. Fines, fees, and penalties will be taken care of. Health care, education, and the right to pursue our dreams will be the government's responsibility. All funds recipients will receive $25 million in a trust after receiving a letter via a mail carrier or courier. Signing and activating a non-disclosure and trust, and then they will be required to call to make an appointment about the bank and spend about 45 minutes on paperwork. In 30 days, a new fund will be available to join, and they will follow the sequence of steps until all are millionaires. And be sure to leave money in the trust to keep it open as the next installment, an undisclosed amount, will follow. The prosperity funds will finance the humanitarian programs available with a proposal to improve our world. The San Germain Trust is a 400 quadrillion, that's about 18 zeros, folks, as is Kuan Yin's Trust that has 800 quadrillion in it to finance equitable housing, clean water, sewage, and infrastructure around the world. 3D printers, computers, robotics will be accomplished within this year. There will be many projects to enhance life and to beautify Mother Earth. There will be elections 120 days after the government, interim government, replaces the corporate government. Disclosure announcements will follow NESRA in 30 to 60 days. Banks will be closed for 3 to 7 days and become Basel compliant 3 and 4. RG and CGR are ready for auspicious moment with funds in all banks. It's already there, folks, the funds. Homes, offices, vehicles, etc. will run on a limited zero-point electrical space energy. Radionic devices and herbs will replace many conventional practices to heal all conditions. After contact, in 6 to 8 months, second-wave technologies, including anti-gravity cars that will teleport, replicators, body-adjusting beds, multimedia hold decks and beam shifts 7 minutes to any star in the galaxy. In 12 to 14 months after contact, we will spend 3 days in light chambers and 7 days in training. Now, whoa, you say. Okay, Sheldon Neidl has been talking about all of this stuff for years, and I have a special guest, Tippi Hedren, with us this morning, and I didn't warn her about any of this, so Tippi, you got an earful there.
What?
I've been waiting for this. I've been, some people have been signed up to these different funds since the 90s, okay? I signed up for one of them, the Saint Germain Trust, Tippi, back in 1999. And at the time, I was loaded with money. So I signed up a bunch of my friends, too. Cost $100 a piece. So a lot of my friends are signed up with the San Germain Trust. What you want to know about NESRA, Tippi, is everybody in the U.S. is signed up for it. It's here for us.
I'm totally speechless.
It's totally global. It's a global conversation as well. It's called GESRA. By any chance, have you seen the Gumball video on immigration by any chance?
Have I? No.
Oh, no. Well, I sent it out to some people. I couldn't remember whether you had gotten it or not. I saw this brilliant conversation on Gumballs. And what actually has to happen is that people have to go to their home countries to actually be able to exercise what's happening here, because in immigration and things of that nature, it's very selective, okay, who gets what? You know, usually when you immigrate, they take the cream of the crop when people immigrate. So what's happening is the countries of the world are, because they're so impoverished, there's an extraordinary number of people that earn under $2 a day. It's horrendous when you see that. And the truth is, they would be better off receiving this funding in their own countries, just because their countries need to be taken care of, too. So I've got my fingers crossed for that. NESRA has been promised for just a really long time. I think Bill Clinton even had something to do it. So when you say you were shocked, what went through your mind when you heard what I was reading?
I thought, well, I'm. It's very early in the morning, and I'm just waking up, and it's a dream.
Well, this particular show is going to be heard at different times of the day all over the place and downloaded. In case you don't know who this lovely voice is, you say, Tippi Hedren, that sounds familiar. I know that name. You betcha. Tippi Hedren is, God, I think of so many things, you know, things that we've gotten into over the years, Tippi. I asked Tippi originally to be on the program today because I'm an administrator in this in these funds that are coming up, and I'm not an administrator as me. I'm administrator as a part of a whole team of people that are administering funds. So if you're due for some of these funds and you've already invested in the different projects that were mentioned here, you'll actually be administrators too. And you'll be able to help projects. So what you want to do is you want to look around your community and see what kind of community projects need to be taken care of. And Tippi's community is, it moves me. If you've heard it, tell them about Shambhala and what happened when you started Shambhala and what that happened.
Oh, well, all right. This may take several days to get all this in, but I am an actress. I have done several films. I did we did our own film with my then husband, who is now deceased, about the animals in the wild and the problems they have out there, just with encroaching civilization, sport hunting, and poaching, the problems that they have, and the numbers of wild animals are diminishing, and we decided to do a film about that issue. And
that would be Roar?
Yeah, that would be Roar. Uh-huh. And we were going to have, an 8 or 9 month shoot, and it took us 5 years.
Oh, wow, I didn't realize that long.
Because we were dealing with big cats, lions and tigers, leopard, mountain lion.
I have to tell you, when I saw Roar, I thought, this is Tippi's, this is what Tippi's home films look like, you know? I mean, who has a lion in their living room practically?
I do. I did.
She had all these things. She also had a lion for a man that was directing her movies, a lion who gave her a very rough time in life. So you've got a woman here that has, she's whenever you send your signature, I love it because it's got birds in it. So Tippi started the birds, and if you haven't seen the birds, you have to. It was one of the most terrifying things. When those birds come after you in the attic or whatever it is, like, oh my Jesus God!
Yeah, that was not a lot of fun.
Were there retakes?
No, we didn't have to. We didn't do any retakes either. We did it in one. I think it was 2 days.
Oh, so 2 days of having the birds after. Anyway, this woman, Tippi. To me, when I started thinking about how the elders haven't been asked to speak enough, you know, over time, what those of us, you're 80 plus at this point. I know you had a birthday. I don't know if you want to share the age on the air.
Oh, January 19th. Yeah, I was born in 1930. You do the math.
There you go. Now, how about that? And can you hear how good she sounds? Okay, she also, do you still use Eat by Your Blood Type?
O.
You're an O?
I'm an O.
I'm an O. Oh, this is really remarkable. I'm an O,
why?
Too.
Why is that? Are you O as well?
I am an O positive.
I didn't get a negative or a positive. I guess I'm not that fancy.
O is a universal donor.
Uh-huh.
Did you know that?
No, I didn't.
Yeah, this one might explain a lot of your life. She's always been giving. O's are universal donors, and we are our blood type is actually compatible with all the other signs, which is very helpful.
So yes, it is. That's true.
When I started thinking about all of the different things about Tippi, I mean, she mentioned Shambhala. What year did that get started?
It was in the early 70s.
And at that time, later on in the 80s or 90s, I think in the 90s I asked you how much it cost, and you said, I think $80,000 or $100,000 a month just to feed the animals. Is that good? Did I remember right?
No, it's much more than just feeding. you know, because you're dealing with predators
yeah.
right here, and you have to have fencing that is strong enough to hold these animals, and because of the fact that I won't put anything in a little tiny cage, it was extremely expensive.
Okay, and what does it run
most together?
How much does it cost you to run Shambhala today?
It changes all the time, you know.
Sure.
It never goes down, you know.
It
always costs more, you know.
What you have done since the 1970s for these animals. And one of the best ways you can tell when somebody's heart is in something is take a look at the length of time that project has been going. Go out and visit Shambhala, which you're welcome to do. Are you still doing tours on the once a month?
Oh, yes, of course. Yes, you look up on the website, Shambhala, shambhala.org, O-R-G. And in that, when you pull it up, you can check for visiting days.
Okay, and I've invested in the name of a nonprofit in all these different things, and Tippy's got lots of helpers. I'm going to guess you're spending over $80,000-$90,000 a month to take care of things. Would that be?
That's pretty close. Yes.
It would be. Did you hear the figures, folks? $80,000 to $90,000 a month to take care of these animals, which he's been making that happen. Since the 1970s, her daughter Melanie has helped her with that, and Bill Dow, I mean, he's an incredible wildlife photographer. You can probably buy pictures that he's done out of Shambhala, and I think I'm due to come out for another visit soon, because one of the things that we're going to do is we're going to make sure that Shambhala lives through eternity.
By hell or high water.
Right. I'm glad you said hell or high water, because this is the key to Tiffy's personality as far as I'm concerned. And that personality is things get done. And not only do they get done, they get sustained, okay? I'm going to guess it was 20 years ago. One of the things that happened was I used to do a lot of television on cable on Channel 2 and Channel 3 in Los Angeles. And Channel 3, back in the old days, when you didn't have a clicker, you had to pass Channel 3 as you were going between Channel 2 and 4 as you turned the dial on your television. So we had amazing coverage on what we were up to. And Tippy and I found out, we got our hands on some footage about this lion being shot out of a tree, and there were these hunters going around California trying to get permits to kill mountain lions. We've got mountain lions up where I live right now, and P-42 died last year, and I bawled my head off. There's just all kinds of things that even the wild mountain lions have to go through, and we got on Channel 2, and we showed this footage of these hunters with dogs, and the dogs were going looking for a lion. They collared a lion up a tree, and then they shot the lion, and then you got to watch the lion flopping around in the water and dying. But the best line of the whole thing, and which turned it around, is the guy says, "Nice pelt." Remember that?
Oh.
Nice. It just still gives me chills.
Yeah.
We were in the TV station watching them put the video together for the show, and everybody in the room was crying, Tippy, as I watched that. Because these liars were claiming that the mountain lions were threatening people and that they needed permits to control the mountain lions, and that's not what they were up to at all. And we turned the election around. It was scheduled to win, and we played this and had this, and it lost. And yesterday, actually, I called up Joffrey's restaurant in Malibu. Do you remember going down there?
Mm-hmm.
With the drawings all on the wall from all the different stars, and Jeff was there to support you, and we were going to create a campaign for Shambhala.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, I've left a message for him, and I talked to his associate yesterday, Sharon. I'm trying to see if I can get that campaign reactivated. Jeff still owns the restaurant. So I made that, and I keep my fingers crossed for you because I love Shambhala, you know that. And I must say that when my mom died, I had her ashes, and I had taken my mom's ashes all over the world. I put them at the foot of Buddha. I took them to Drury Lane. I put them in the River Seine. I put them on in the Fountain of Trevi in Rome and all of that. And I had one little batch left I wanted to take to Shambhala because my mom just thought that felt like the greatest place in the world. And Tippi had somebody in the room with her when I came in to tell her that I wanted to do that. And she said, Val, you know it's against the law, I think it was, to ashes here or something like that. I thought, and then she just smiled at me. And I went, huh. So I went, okay, fine. And I took my mom's ashes and I got in the car and I drove upstream and then I put them in the river. So my mom's ashes got to go to Shambhala because that's where our hearts are. When you go out there and you see what Tippi has done and sustained over the years, it makes you cry. It makes you cry. It makes you smile. It makes you all kinds of things. So
It is a very, very beautiful place, and just through the help of all these wonderful people who care about animals, we are able to exist. I used to have a tigress walking by my side of the house. Her name is Mona, and she and I, if I have my blinds up in my bedroom window, it's a great big window, and she walks by, we can look at each other.
Oh,
the fencing to this one compound is about 6 feet away from my house.
Wow,
and. Yeah, so we're neighbors.
Who did I get to meet that day? That little three-legged sweetie pie.
Oh, she's gone.
Is she gone?
Yeah.
Their lifespan
is around 20 years,
Oh, she's such a sweetie. Oh, we can tell you more stories of elephants and things of that nature. And if we have, we got a late start this morning, so I'm not sure how we're going to do all time-wise. But there's a whole bunch of reasons that I invited Tippi to be here this morning because to me, she's the epitome of what I think a woman can be across the board. First of all, she shows up. You're like Carol Channing. I don't know if you ever talked with Carol much, Tippi, but when she was scheduled to be on the radio show, her husband actually had a stroke or something and was taken to the hospital. And so Carol called in to the radio show from the hospital.
Oh, bless her heart.
And I said, oh, my God, we could reschedule you. And she said, Val, I told you I would call, and I'm calling.
Oh.
And I said, oh, my God, your husband's, in the hospital. And she goes, that doesn't change my word.
Oh, there you go.
And I said, oh, my God. And then she said, everybody thinks I did 5,000 shows of Hello, Dolly. She said, I only did 4,999 and a half. I said, how did that work?
And how did the half come in?
Exactly. How did that show up? Because here's the one who keeps her word, right? So how does this half thing come up, right? It turns out that she was doing a dancing scene and she fell off the stage.
Oh, well, that could put you back a day or two.
Well, it gets even better. She went. She couldn't get back up the stage, so she went running around to the stage door and it was locked.
Oh.
So that was where the half a show disappeared to. But the thing being is that was her mark. I met her after 9/11 at a fundraiser out at one of the colleges, and she was there with Angela Lansbury, and they were doing a production. It was a wonderful production. Angela came out singing Hello, Dolly. And
nice.
Comes out like 2 or 3 minutes later, going, "Who's that singing my song?" Right? And it was Carol, right? And after at the after party, what I was telling her what a rush that was, that whole thing between her and Angela. She had a Band-Aid over her eye, right? And I even have a picture of her somewhere with her Band-Aid. She had actually fallen off the ramp because the lighting had gone out, like the night they were practicing, and she literally knocked herself silly.
Oh.
And she says, "Val, the show must go on." You know, and you're the same type of person.
Well, so, but you know, but that's what actors do.
Yes.
You know, I mean, you not only take on the job, you take on all of the everything that goes with it. And that doesn't surprise me at all.
No, you can give me a list of all the rest of them, and we'll form funds and things with them and get things done.
Yeah.
Because if you've got a person that keeps their word no matter what, you got better than gold. You've got diamond crusted gold, you know?
Yes, I think you're right. Yeah.
I've been in a legal battle for going into my 12th year, okay? And I've finally gotten sick of the system, and I have attacked the system, and I am going after all the corruption that I've come up on in the 11 years that I've been in this battle with the bank. And if you hang in there, it works. If you think something doesn't work, it's only because you didn't last long enough.
You should get some sort of an award for this one.
I definitely am headed for that.
I hope so. I hope it's very
meaningful.
I'm in
an appeal
for you.
I got slam-banged by a judge that I am actually turning into the judge. By the way, there's a judicial reference board in California, in San Francisco, and I'm hitting everything. I'm going after On Your Side with David Goldstein and all these different people, because it's time. I have been inside the court system long enough to reflect the corruption that's in the state, and it's corruption. It's there's a megalith of evil that's operating in the court systems that I don't want to spend today on, because what I want to spend today on and am spending today on is the power of the elders. Okay? Mm-hmm. What you may or may not know, Tippi, is that the elders used to be highly, highly, highly respected back during, before the Industrial Revolution.
Uh-huh.
First of all, they were not drugged to the gills and jerking around with tardive dyskinesia or anything of that nature because of all the stuff they're consuming for Alzheimer's and so on and so forth. I mean, the drug thing is another outrageous conversation. But when the Industrial Revolution came in, people started working these awful hours. You know, children working 8, 10, 12 hours a day, things of that nature. And the elder or the disappeared from the children's lives, and that was members of the family that would pass on the legends and the values of the family and inspire the kids, keep an eye on them, keep them on track. It wasn't some goofy TV show.
Mm-hmm.
And this is no slam on Sesame Street. You're a TV show we all loved. But a lot of what's available in the media for our kids, and a lot of our kids are latchkey kids, meaning that they stay at home and they're watched by the TV set. Our culture and our ability to pass on the knowledge of the elders has totally, the elders are not even visible most of the time, nor respected. And Tippi, if I could think of, I would say you, Carol Channing, my friend Tim Turner, who is actually in prison for fighting the system. I actually wrote him a letter yesterday. All these people are people that know how to keep their word. They stand for something. And they don't quit.
As it should.
Yeah, and that's the possibility. And the other reason that I invited you to see, so many reasons you had to be here this morning, is because I am really getting sick and tired of all these sexual harassment suits and things of that nature. In my day, my mom says, if you have trouble, Valerie, a good knee in the right place will always do wonders. I love my mother for that. And when I was a little kid, there used to be a guy named David Snyder who used to jump out of trees and pull my hair out about once every 6 months. So I'd be walking along, and David Snyder would jump out of a tree and yank my hair, pull me bald, and then away. And I went crying to my mother, and my mom said, sweetie, the problem is the world's full of bullies. She said, you got a bully on your hands. She said, now, I want you to see if you can straighten that bully out all by yourself. If you can't, I'll go talk to his mother. But I really want you to see if you can take care of the bully. So I put on my coveralls. We had coveralls in those days. Man, I loved those things. They had pockets. They had all kinds of stuff, and you could get rough and tumble in them. And I went and stood under the tree, the redwood tree, on the road for where David had to come home from school. And when he came down the road, I beckoned him over wearing my coveralls. And when he came over to me, I just grabbed him by his shirt and punched him in the nose and said, don't you ever pull my hair out again. And then we became best friends.
Oh, how funny.
But see what my mom did?
Yeah, well, she gave you a little bit of, well, let's see, she gave you a hammer. She gave you some language. She gave you a whole lot of things so that you would be prepared for this sort of thing and how to handle it.
And that's right. And I'll tell you something. When an Olympic discus champion was giving me a bad time in a car, he got the knee.
You what?
He got the knee. And I went home laughing. The guy was a brute of a guy. It was an elephant. And he had decided that he was going to party out with me before he left for the Olympics in Rome. And I said, no, you aren't. And he said, yes, I am. And then I need him. And then I laughed because it sure did work.
Good for
Thanks,
you.
Mom. So it isn't just about my mom or Tiffy's point of view or whatever. We were taught to not have to take this crap.
And, that's right. And we shouldn't have to.
So I would like to see in schools, instead of removing music and art and physical education from the schools, I'm willing to make sure funding, at least in California, Tiffy, puts in back music and art. And I believe that Taekwondo or something of that nature should be a part of every woman's education.
Oh, I think you're right. Yeah.
You know, things of that nature. So
yeah.
When so we don't have to listen to sad stories about what have happened to women. If women had been trained, if Christine Blasey Ford was telling the truth, and I can't tell for sure whether she was or not, but if she had known what we were taught in Taekwondo and things of that nature and how to protect herself, it wouldn't have mattered who was doing what, because they wouldn't have been by the time she was done. She didn't have to be a victim. And there's so many women in America that have been victimized because they just don't know some moves. Seriously, moves.
Oh, I
actually, my poor husband.
Absolutely.
Lonnie
agree
came
with
home
you.
From work one day, and I was annoyed with him, and I had been watching Mike Douglas on television. Do you remember Mike Douglas?
Yes.
Okay, so that particular day on TV, they had a judo expert on. And the judo expert came up to Mike, and they had showed him how to do it. And what you do is, when the person puts a hand on their shoulder, you just take their hand and you pull it over your shoulder and then roll your body. So my husband came in, put his hand on my shoulder. I pulled him over the shoulder. This 6'4" guy hit the floor so fast. It was just terrific. And then I went running out the front door because he was chasing me.
And he who runs fastest.
But then I collapsed on the front lawn because I was laughing so hard. This guy
beautiful.
That had always kind of just, he hadn't done anything to me. I was just a little intimidated by his height, so I treated him in a different way than I did after I did that. After you got a blight on the kitchen floor, you'll talk to him different forever. Thank you, Mike Douglas. So all kinds of things are going on, but the truth is our elders, a lot of them are so doped up, you can't even hear what they have to say to you. So what we want to do is, and what I'm inviting different people to do in different places, is that I'm creating Waking Up in America's Council of Elders, okay? Every one of the elders on this council will have, they've already had big projects. They've already done big things. And we'll be putting together a council that will actually be making it possible for you to get their wisdom. Tippi has been remarkable. You actually come from, what city in Finland do you come from?
No, Minnesota.
Minnesota?
Yeah, that's it. That's what, I didn't know there was a, that Minnesota lived in another country, though. No, I
well, your country has always been remarkably advanced, technologically advanced. Did you know that?
It's what? Considered one of our country?
You're Finnish by ancestry, right?
No, Swedish and Norwegian.
Oh, Swedish and Norwegian. Anyway,
and a little German thrown in.
The Scandinavian countries are known for their technology.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. They were ahead of the technological field way before everybody else, and I really think that the Scandinavians have a particular hardiness to them. My first husband's second wife is Swedish as well.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a guts and grips to her. There's a she'll take on anything. If Kura is upset about something or thinks something is wrong, she'll just stand there and she'll take it on, and she doesn't care if it's 12 foot tall and drooling. She just mm-hmm. doesn't put up with any crap.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know, do you have a I don't put up with any crap stuff part of you as well?
Oh, absolutely.
Okay. So
it shows very early in after meeting someone.
Say more.
I had very, very, very good instructions when I was a child by my parents.
And tell us your instructions.
Pardon me?
Tell us what your parents instructed you to do.
Oh, well, it would take quite a while to get through all of that,
the keynote.
A great deal to do with your own self-respect. Which, if you have, if you've got that going for you, you are not going to allow anything that would interfere with how you feel about yourself. Because if you start doing things that you're not proud of or that are whatever it is that you're not the soul of your body, you know that it's wrong. If you do that, you're
lost
in a bad state, and that you will when you do things that you know are wrong, you will never forget it, and it will live with you for the rest of your life.
Yeah, but the best you can do is forgive yourself.
Yeah.
And it's hard. Tippi, I'm going to confess the thing that I did wrong that kind of makes me laugh, but at the same time makes me feel bad. And I was walking along the Palisades in Santa Monica, a really beautiful place, and it was getting near sunset, and we wanted a bench to sit down on to watch the sunset, and all the benches were taken. So I kind of scanned the benches, and I saw a woman sitting on one of the benches, and I decided that I wanted to make her move. I wanted her bench. So Karen was standing back, and what I did was I walked past the woman, and I would turn my head really fast, and I would look at her intensely, and then I would walk past, and then I would turn around and come back and look at her again, really intensely. And I did that like 3 or 4 times since she got up and left.
You stared her down.
I not only stared her down, I stared her crazy. And I've always kind of like chuckled because it worked, but I've always felt at the same time bad for the what I did to the woman. I stole her bench.
Yeah, that was that. That's a very interesting side of you.
I know. There's another one too. When I was little, I stole 10 cents out of my grandmother's purse.
Uh oh.
Okay, because I wanted something. I don't remember what it was. She was really strict too. My grandmother actually had a bullwhip, so she knew how to keep people in line.
It sounds like she used it too.
Actually, that's another story. So. That was when I lied. So I took the dime, and then years later, it just bothered me that I had done it. So years later, I put a dollar back in her purse, and I told her it was the dime I took from before with interest. So I put that back. But
what
you said, what you said about the bullwhip, I was really afraid of her. She had a sternness to her that I was frightened of. So. She bought me a new Mackinac, and I fell in the mud and got mud all over it. When I came home, she goes, "What happened to you?" And I said, "Oh, this boy, he pushed me in the mud." And she went in the closet, Tippy, and she got her bullwhip. I'd never seen it before.
Oh.
And she brought her bullwhip out, and she took me by the hand with her bullwhip. Cracking her bullwhip
wow.
to town and said, "Was it him? Was it him?" She snapped the whip, right? Like, I was really terrified at that point. And they said, "No, it wasn't him." And I don't think I ever told her. But it sure did change me because.
Oh, I'll bet.
I just never lied to my grandmother again because that was like I had no idea the intensity of what my lie would produce. I was just afraid of her. And frankly, I think I had good reason to be.
I was just going to say it, and you had good reason to be.
So then it turned out that when my mom would get mad at me, I could outrun her, but she had a switch, you know? And I realized, even when I was a child, that the switch was actually a lesser version of the bullwhip.
Oh, of course.
Literally, what goes through families are different methods for handling life, okay?
Uh-huh.
That my mom probably was scared of the bullwhip, too. But in her world, it translated into a switch. So I'm bringing that up because we pass things along, and as we get consciousness or we get understanding or things of that nature, we can upgrade ourselves.
Mm-hmm.
You're absolutely correct. I mean, another thing I did as a child was sell a little Christmas tree. I made a little Christmas tree, and I was trying to sell it for a dollar. Mm-hmm. So I put it in a can, and I had decorated the little thing, and I went around, and I wanted a dollar for the can, and after I'd been going all day, this person said, I dropped the price to 50 cents because I wanted to go home and nobody was buying my Christmas tree. And somebody said, I'll buy your tree. Here, I've got a dollar. Do you have change? I said, no, I'm going to go get it. Then I ran away with a dollar and never came back. These... Whether you would know it or not, are the things that are with you. And Tippy and I are sharing these things with you, and I hope I can get her to do more at another time because she's an incredible story, and she's an incredible example. And if we take time to look at the people like Carol Channing, like Tippy Hedren, like people that have been incredibly successful on this planet, you will see that this is the core to them. And Tippy, I love you for it. And I want more time for more Tippy conversations. So women, learn judo, stand up and fight for yourself, put a knee in the right place and keep moving, and go after the crooked judges, go after off. We're in the last minute of the show, Tippy, and it's yours. What would you like to say?
Well, yeah, I think what I would like to ask everyone is that they would go get my book. It's called Tippy.
And probably Amazon?
Oh, I think
would be a good place to get it?
Oh, I think so, yes.
Or can they get them from you and they're autographed or something like that?
Well, you can do that, too.
Well, that'd be nice. How did they get an autographed book of Tippi?
Well, they look us up on the website, so you have the address, and send in the amount, and I'll sign it to whoever you want me to sign it.
I love it. I love it.
Santa Claus now, or whatever.
Seriously, you could hand your family and friends a book of a woman that has lived her life well, in my opinion, and I'm just honored to be your friend.
Oh, thank you.
Thanks for being here this morning, and if you'd hang around after we go off air, I want to try something with you.
Okay.
And you're not crazy anymore.
Thank you for joining us today for Waking Up in America with Valerie Kirkgaard. Waking Up in America can be heard live every Wednesday on voiceamerica.com, and Valerie welcomes all emails at heavenincorporated.com.
This is for all you new, pouring through, now your heart is open.